Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me first to Hebrews chapter 11, and then a little bit later on, I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 2. Sister Angie, Angelica, we got a couple Angies. I need to call her Angelica, I guess, or Angelica. Where's she at? Okay. She's got tickets for any of you mothers or to-be mothers or people that have taken on the role of a mom. I don't necessarily think you have to give birth to a child to be considered a mother. In fact, I was thinking this morning, some of the ladies in this community whose names I heard from the time I got here and still hear ringing today were women who were never married and who never had children, but who certainly qualified in that role of a mother in this community. Sister Sadie Brantley, I loved going to visit with her, and certainly she took on that role to many. So if you feel like you meet any of those qualifications, or even if you feel like you don't, somebody besides you feels like you do, get you a ticket. We're going to give away some prizes this morning. Anybody need one? Sister Angie's got them right there. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll have another opportunity right at the end of the service this morning. We're going to give away some flowers, some gifts, and of course we got something for all the ladies this morning, but we'll do that at the end of the service. Our kids are going to join us right when we start to give the invitation there. That's their cue in the back to come back out front, so they'll be joining you. They'll be able to love on these moms and honor them as well. I'm going to skip around a little bit in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verse 1 first. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." Then look at verse 6. The Bible says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him," that's God, "for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now I'm going to come back and read another verse in a few minutes, but I've been thinking all week this week about great women of the Bible, great women in my own life, and I've got a rich heritage of godly women going all the way back to my great-grandmothers that I was privileged to know, a couple of them, and all of them made a profound impact in my life. I remember, I think it was my grandmother's Roddenberry's 75th anniversary, and we all gathered up there, 30, I think they're 33, is that right, Cindy? I don't remember, 33. There's too many of us. You lose count. I never can keep up with it. But I was number 6 among her grandchildren. My mom was number 6 among her children. And we just had a little reunion. We all got numbered shirts with our appropriate place in them. I'm in the single-digit category. But that number went all the way up to 33. And then I don't know how many grands or great-grands and great-great-grands. But I remember at her 75th wedding anniversary, my grandma stood about that tall, and I took a look around, and I'm like, "You made a mess." I mean, there's a pile of us, and this little old woman was responsible for 11 children, and not all of us. And I'm like, "You made a mess in this world." And she said, "It ain't a mess; it's a beautiful mess." And moms have made an impact. And all of our lives, grandmothers. I thought about some of the great women of the Bible. The Bible said that Eve was the mother of all living. How'd you like to wear that title? The mother of all living belongs to Eve. Sarah, at 90 years old, gave birth to a son, and she became the mother of all of Israel. I thought about Hannah, that woman that Eli thought was drunk in the temple, but her heart was so burdened for a child that she begged God to give her a child, and the Lord honored her request and raised up Samuel, the great priest of Israel, who anointed Israel's first two kings. I thought about Timothy, how Paul never talked about Timothy's father. I don't know if his father had died or if his father was just absent from his life. But when Paul was talking about how profitable Timothy was to his ministry, and how great a ministry that Timothy himself would have, he said that you learned what you learned first from your grandmother Lois and from your mother Eunice. And so he talked about this great preacher of the New Testament church that had the influence of a godly grandmother and mama in his life. And of course, we can't forget the mother of all mothers in the Bible, that one that God chose to fulfill the promise that He made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. By the way, we're fond of laying the burden of sin on the back of Eve, The Bible never does that. And we can talk all day long about how, in fact, there was a joke made years ago. What if God hadn't made the woman? We'd still be in the Garden of Eden. There ain't no truth to that, though. It's just a joke. The Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam went into it with his eyes wide open. And when you look in the book of Romans, the Bible doesn't lay the burden of sin on the shoulders of the woman. It lays the burden of sin on the shoulders of Adam. And so God said from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that I'll bring my promise of a Messiah through the seed of the woman. Not the man, but the seed of the woman. And so that precious woman, Mary, that God had chosen from before the foundation of the world to carry the Christ child. Those are some just a handful of the great, great, great women of the Bible. And I know we live in a society right now that's very much women's lib, feminism driven. And there's some bad negative aspects of that. But can I tell you that the Bible has never denigrated women? You won't find in the Bible where we're ever called to look down upon a woman as one of lesser value than the man, of one that, of lesser importance than a man. In fact, if you go through the Scriptures, you'll find over and over and over that not only does it not denigrate women, but it elevates them. It puts them up on a pedestal. And I know this, and you know this. If you follow the course of Scriptures, women were essential to God's redemptive plan. They were not a piece of the puzzle that could be left out. Women played an essential role in the redemptive plan of God for mankind. Not just as the bearers of children. We think that's their primary role, is to bear children. But women are so much more than that. Women have been the helpmates of husbands who became godly men and the nurturers of many godly leaders. I'm sure you've heard this quote before. I'm going to use it just kind of jump into where I want to go this morning. I think it was actually part of a poem, and I couldn't quote the poem to you, but I do remember this quote from the poem. Stuck with me through all the years. The hands that rock the cradle, or the hand that rocks the cradle, rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, you know what that verse says. It speaks of the influence of a mother on the affairs of the world. The influence of a mother in the life of a child has the ability to impact the world. And I don't think that rings true anywhere else any more than in the life of probably one of the Bible's most familiar, most powerful men, and that is the man Moses. Now, if you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Moses occupies a huge place in the Scripture. In fact, the first five books of the Bible, which is what the Jewish people grabbed a hold to before the prophets came along, and still today they cherish those first five books of the Bible. Those books were written by Moses, the lawgiver. God rehearsed to Moses all of that history of the creation of the world and how things came to be and the life of Abraham. God gave Moses all that information, and Moses became the scribe that wrote all that stuff down. Moses literally is an Old Testament picture of Christ. When you go into the New Testament, in fact, read Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, what a huge space he devoted to Moses. In fact, he even said that Moses' experience from bringing the children out of Egypt and out of bondage and in the wilderness was a picture of the church. So Moses is an Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find that he is known as a prophet. In fact, Moses said this, that God's going to raise up a prophet like me, but better than me, bigger than me, and him you'll hear. And he was speaking of Jesus. The New Testament tells us that Moses, even way back yonder, was forecasting the coming of a man who would be not only a prophet, but also a priest and ultimately a king. So he's not only an Old Testament picture of Christ, he is an Old Testament prophet of Christ. And he is known as a prophet. He was known as the Savior of Israel, the Deliverer of Israel, the Lawgiver, which is essential to all of us coming to Christ. The Bible said the law proves our guiltiness and brings us to place like a schoolmaster and lays us at the feet of Jesus. And he's also known as a mediator. He stood as a man between God and men and mediated for the nation of Israel, just as Jesus stands between God and men today as our mediator. But behind this great, mighty man of God was a little known but critically needed, I'm going to call her a mighty mama. And you only find her name mentioned twice in the scripture, and not in the context that we're going to read, and I didn't write the verses down, but you'll find it recording, in, I think, in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy, who Moses' dad and his mom was. But the one we're going to focus on this morning is this little woman named Jochebed. Now, her name, this is interesting to me, and I'm just going to chase this rabbit for just a second, and then I'm going to let him go, all right? As far as I know, God never gave his personal name to anyone until he met Moses at the burning bush. And Moses said, "Who should I tell them sent me?" And God said, "Tell them I am." And we know that's where the word Yahweh came from, which became the personal name of the God of Israel. And we know that name today as Jehovah. Well, Jochebed's name has a portion of that Jehovah concept in it, and her name literally means Jehovah glorified. Now, I've tried to toss this around all week. I don't know for sure, but I'm speculating, since God got Moses' name a little bit later, Moses looked back with fond reflection upon his mom. That may not have been her original given name, but Moses may have given his mother that name in that God glorified my mom in my life, and I call her Jochebed, that Jehovah, the personal name of God, has been glorified in this woman's life. Now, Mama Jochebed had three children. Moses actually was the baby who became the greatest leader, I believe, that Israel ever had. The next in line, and I believe the scripture tells us that he was 3 years older than Moses, was Aaron. He became the first high priest of the nation of Israel, the beginning of the Aaronic priesthood. Moses' whole family were part of the Levite tribe, but Aaron became the first high priest of the nation in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then Miriam was the oldest sister, probably 10 years difference between her and Moses, because she was a teenager when he was a baby. Miriam became the worship leader and songwriter of that nation in the wilderness. But when you read from Hebrews chapter 11, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, that it is impossible without faith to please God, and that when people believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, God rewards them, God honors them. But if you look down at the end of, not the end of Hebrews chapter 11, but look at verse 23, the Bible says that by faith, and all Hebrews chapter 11 is a listing of some of the heroes of the faith. Some of the names are very, very familiar to us, but Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23 doesn't really give anybody by name, but it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." Now you understand that the Bible is not calling Moses a hero of the faith in verse 23. It's calling his parents heroes of the faith in verse 23, "because they saw he was a proper, a beautiful, a goodly, a godly child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." Now, the hero of the faith known as Moses is mentioned in verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Now he's looking back at the promise of verse 6, that God honors faith, that he rewards faith. Moses said, "It's better for me to have respect to God than it is to esteem the riches of Egypt." But the Bible said in verse 7 that by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him, that is, seeing God who is invisible. So the Bible says clearly in chapter 11, verse 23, that Moses' parents were heroes of the faith. They were heroes of the faith. The brief commentary of Jochebed's life story, this is all we really know about her other than her name, is found in Exodus chapter 2. And let me give you the context of that before we jump into this text. In Egypt, in Exodus chapter 2, we know there was a famine in the land. The whole story of Joseph brought the family of Jacob down into Egypt where they were preserved from the famine. And the Bible says eventually that family began to grow. They began to grow. When they came to Egypt, there were 70 of them. But they began to multiply in the land of Egypt to the point that Egypt became afraid that the Israelites were going to grow stronger than the Egyptians and overthrow the Egyptian nation. So the king that didn't know Joseph came along, the Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph came along and decided we're going to put the Israelites into slavery. We're going to bring them into bondage. We're going to make them build our cities. And when they complain about it, we're going to take away the straw that we had given them to make bricks, and we're going to make them just make it with clay and make them make more. So they were just putting huge demands upon the shoulders of the Israelites. And still the Israelites multiplied. And so Pharaoh said, these people are going to overtake us just by their sheer numbers. And so in fear of the Israelites, he enslaved them first, and then he gave this edict that, okay, they've had enough children. And so all of the male children that are born into the Israelites should be cast into the Nile River. All the male children have to be destroyed. Now, let me say this. Ultimately, let me tell you what's going on. Ultimately, Pharaoh and the Egyptians are pawns of Satan. Because God had already prophesied, and I don't believe the devil's omniscient. I don't believe the devil knows everything. I don't think the devil can read our thoughts. I think he can hear our words. And I know that God gave a prophecy and a promise to Abraham that in Abraham all the nations of the earth would be blessed, which was a prophecy of the coming Messiah. So Satan knew that the Israelite nation would be the one that gives birth to the seed of the woman that would one day crush his head, and we know that was Christ. So the devil was doing everything he could do to stand in the way of Israel's prosperity. He was coming against them in every sense of the word. He's still coming against them, by the way, just as he's coming against the church. But he uses Pharaoh and the Egyptians now as pawns in his hands and moves them against the Israelites in an attempt, I believe, to stop God's plan, to stand in the way of God's promised Messiah that would come through the nation of Israel, kill all the male children. That will essentially cut off the lineage of the Jews. If we keep doing that, if we keep squashing them, it'll cut off that lineage. By the way, he tried to do that again in Jesus' day. The same kind of edict. Herod said, all those males born under 2 years old, kill them all. And the Bible talked about how the children, how Rachel cried out for her children. But I don't think the devil counted on Jochebed standing in his way. I don't think the devil took into account that Moses had a mom and a dad who had faith in the one true and living God, and who were determined to raise a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Moses' mama had faith in God. I just got 3 points this morning. I'm going to preach them as fast as I can. Moses' mama had a faith in God that conquered her fear of man. Look with me in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Both Moses' mom and his dad were of the tribe of Levi. The Bible said that the woman, we still don't have her name here, but it's Jochebed. And Jochebed conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Moses' mama and daddy, because we know Hebrews put them both in there as parents, Moses' mama saw him as a gift from God. She saw his value. She saw his potential. She knew full well. Now, you understand, they didn't have 4D sonograms back then. They didn't have any way of testing whether the child was going to be born male or female. And I can imagine that she had a fear in her heart early on that if I give birth to a male child, then the edict of Pharaoh is that I have to destroy that child. I have to take that child's life. But the Bible says that she conceived and when she bore him and she saw that he was a beautiful, a good, a valuable. She saw the potential, I believe, in Moses from early on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 says that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of what Pharaoh might do to them. They were not afraid of the fact that he may penalize them for violating the edict to kill all these male children. They were not afraid of Pharaoh, so they did not obey him. What they did do was obey God. What they did do was recognize that Moses is a gift from God, that he has value, that he has potential. It could have cost her her own life, but she had more faith in God than she had fear of man. She was willing to put herself between Moses and Pharaoh. She stood as his mediator. Now, see, I believe this. Godly mamas always see the best in their children. Now, I'm telling you, a godly mama will fight for her child till his dying breath and will fight for his value and his potential until his dying breath. He might be an axe murderer, but he's good in his heart. That's what a godly mama will do. She'll stand by that child. Now, daddy might say he ain't never going to amount to nothing. You ain't going to hear any godly mama say he ain't never going to amount. They'll hold on to hope for as long as they live. Godly mamas see the best. They see the value and potential of every child that God gives them. And I believe that a godly mom is a child's first love. A godly mom is a child's greatest defender. Now, I'll tell you, I'm covering the fact that not all mamas are godly, but godly mamas are a child's first love. Godly mamas are a kid's greatest defender. Y'all know all about mama bear syndrome. Godly mamas are a kid's biggest fan and loudest cheerleader. I was looking this week at several different passages of Scripture, and I know how most moms feel when they read Proverbs chapter 31. I don't know a mom in this world who ever felt like she lived up to that standard. But I can tell you, I believe my mom lives up to that standard, and there's a lot of you in here who believe your mom lived up to that standard. Who can find a virtuous woman? You can't put a price on a virtuous woman, on a godly woman. But I was reading through that text again this week, and there was a verse that said this that just kind of stood out to me. In Proverbs 31:21, it says that this virtuous woman is not afraid of the snow for her household. Now, she didn't have any control over the snow. She didn't have any control over the harsh winter. She didn't know what's coming her way, but the Bible says that she has made preparation for that and has made sure that her family is clothed. But what stood out to me, she's not afraid of the snow. Now, you could take that verse and say, she's not afraid of whatever the enemy brings to her. She's doing what she can with what she has to make sure her family is both provided for and protected. That's what a godly mom does. She trusts in God more than she fears anything that's coming her way, more than she fears the commandment of the king, more than she fears the onslaught of the enemy. She trusts God. And she puts feet on her faith, which is the next point. Moses had a mighty mama that had faith in God, that conquered her fear of man. And number two, that caused her to do righteous things. It caused her to move and do righteous deeds. Look at verse 3. The Bible said, when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to see what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags or among the reeds, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now let me tell you something about Hebrews chapter 11. Every hero of the faith, there's a lot of people today say they have faith. You understand that? There's a lot of people today say they believe. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I believe in God. But you don't see any evidence of it in their life. There hadn't been any change in their life. There's no righteousness in their life. There are no deeds in their life. Now, let me tell you, I don't believe that we're saved by works. But I believe when you have authentic faith, that real faith really works. It makes a difference in our life. It creates a change in our behavior. It moves us to do things that we would not otherwise do. Every hero of the faith mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11 had something that they did that proved their faith. When God told Noah it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights and told him to build an ark, the Bible says that Noah moved with fear in order to save his family and did what God said. Every hero of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, their faith moved them to do something. Their faith moved them to act righteously and obediently to the command of God. Now, I believe Mama Jochebed had faith in God that moved her to do everything that she could do to hide Moses and to protect Moses. Can you imagine this? Everybody knows this is a newborn babe. Everybody knows that Pharaoh has made an edict. Everybody understands that this child is supposed to be put to death. She saw value in the child. She had more fear of God than she had fear of man. She decided, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to preserve this child's life for as long as I can preserve it, any way that I can preserve it. She hid him for 3 months, and the Bible said when she could hide him no longer, she took that ark of bulrushes, wove it together with her own hands, sealed it up so that it was watertight, and laid him in the reeds at the edge of the Nile River. She had faith in God that moved her to do all that she could do to hide Moses, to protect Moses. Now, here's what I believe. I believe God put that in her heart. I believe God spoke into Jochebed's life and said, don't kill this child. Don't follow Pharaoh's command. And when you have done all you can do to hide him, put him in, build this. You know what? The Bible says that the steps of a good man, and I believe a good woman, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Now, I can tell you that God has spoken into my life and told me I've never heard God speak in an audible voice, but I've heard a still small voice many times, and he said, do this and do that. Move me in specific directions to do specific things. And every time I've ever done what God asked me to do, when he spoke to me in that still small voice, he's honored that faith and honored that obedience. And so I believe what Jochebed did is she heard very clearly that this is what I want you to do with this baby. And she built that little ark and she pitched it to waterproof it. And God put that in her heart to do, and she listened to that still small voice of God and she obeyed. Now I want you to understand, that didn't make any sense. What, you put a baby in this little boat in the Nile River. It capsizes. He drowns. Anybody know what the Nile River is known for? Crocodiles. Put the baby in the Nile River. Wait, there's crocodiles there. No, the still small voice of God said, build him an ark of bulrushes, pitch it with slime and pitch, and put him in the edge of the Nile River. But who's going to find him? Who's going to find him? What if one of Pharaoh's soldiers finds him? And then the child is dead, and then they're coming after the mother if they can find her. Who's going to find? Nothing about this makes sense. In fact, because this is the place where these children were supposed to be put to death to begin with, it would make more sense to stay as far away from the Nile River as possible. But God said to Jochebed, this is what I want you to do to hide the child, to protect the child, to save the child. And she did what God said. Didn't make any sense. God's plans don't always make sense. But I believe godly mothers are moved more by faith than they are by reason. I hear what God says to do. It may not make any sense for me to do it, but I'm going to do it. I remember another mother in the Bible whose sons were shamefully hanged, who stood day and night, name was Rizpah, to keep the buzzards from eating their bodies. Didn't make any sense what she was trying to do. But David saw this mother standing with her children and said, take them boys down and give them an honorable death. Mothers listen to the voice of God, the voice of, they hear with the ear of faith, the voice of God, more than the voice of reason. I believe Jochebed did that. She took what she loved the most, her own child, and entrusted him to God's care. Now, I'm going to tell you something, mamas. You can't do better than that. Take your most prized possession in all this world, which I know ain't your husband. I'm okay with that. It probably ought to be according to the Bible, but I understand how that child probably needs you more than we need you. But take that most prized possession, and when you have done all you can, do what God said to do and trust Him to do the rest. That's what Jochebed did. Moses' mama had faith in God that conquered her fear of man. Moses' mama had faith in God that caused her to do righteous things. And last, Moses' mama had faith in God that claimed for her God's favor. I love this passage of Scripture. And by the way, this is about all we know of Jochebed. In verse 7, it said, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh," Pharaoh's daughter, "I had found Moses in those reeds. Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she can nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went, Miriam, Moses' older sister, went and called the child's mother, Jochebed. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, you see what God did there? You see what God did there? What the devil meant for harm, God turned it into good. By the way, read, I challenge you today, go read Stephen's account of Moses' life in Acts chapter 7. He talked about how Moses became a mighty man in Pharaoh's courts. He was taught the ways of the Egyptians. He knew their language, and he spoke with power and with authority in those Egyptian courts. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He knew how things operated there. I look at this passage like this. The devil was doing everything he could to stop the birth of the Messiah through the nation of Israel. He is the one that ordered Pharaoh to kill all the male children. He put that in Pharaoh's heart. God put what he put in Jochebed's heart and said, "Lay that child here, now." And so the way I see this whole thing is that God got his way and made the devil pay the bill. God raised up his deliverer, probably the most prominent man of the Old Testament and New Testament when it comes to, in fact, he and the work of Christ are laid right alongside each other. Not that Moses was Christ, but he was a picture and type of Christ. Moses gave the law. Jesus gave the sacrifice that redeemed us from the curse of the law. God got his way, raised up his deliverer, and Mama Jochebed got paid to raise her own child. Now, you mamas that working for free? Jochebed got paid by Pharaoh's coffers to raise her own son. Now, that says to me that God is sovereign. When a mama will put her faith in God and do what God said, God sovereignly works behind the scenes to bring those children where He needs them to be to accomplish His master plan. You understand that anybody could have found Him there. But the one that did find Him there was probably one of the few that had the power to save His life. I don't know how many daughters or wives Pharaoh had, but I'm sure outside of Pharaoh's immediate family, nobody in Egypt had the power to save a Hebrew boy's life except one of that family. She found him. She had compassion on him. She raised him as her own son. She named him "One that I have taken out of the water." God rewarded Jochebed's faith. And I'll tell you today, God still honors faith. God still honors faith. I read this years ago and never forgot it. Apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no greater power on the earth than a mama praying for her child. I like that, don't you? I promise you this. the prayers of my mama and my daddy, I believe, put a hedge of protection over my drunkard, drugging, rebellious life and hedged me and protected me from harm. I remember one night trying to sneak in the house because I was already past my curfew, and me and Daddy Boy, we would butt heads. Mama would sit in the background and cry for me. But I remember one night trying to sneak in without Mom and Daddy hearing me. The bedroom door was open, the light was on, and I thought, well, here it comes, boy. And I remember getting just a little glimpse inside that bedroom door. They were on their knees praying. And you didn't have to, there wasn't any doubt in my mind what kind of praying was going on that night. My grandmother died on a Sunday morning of a massive heart attack. I met with her that Thursday afternoon, and you know what she wanted us to do? I sat at her table for two and a half, 3 hours. We laughed and talked and cried. I didn't know God was going to take her home Sunday, but you know what? We got a big family. That's why it took 2.5, 3 hours. Son, we went through the list of aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews and where they were and what they were doing. And you know what my grandma's heart cry was? That they all be saved. And I've been privileged since my grandmother died to watch as one by one, even the hard cases that I thought, I don't know that they'll ever be saved. We sat at her table and I prayed alongside her and with her, and one by one, they've come to Christ. I'm telling you, there ain't no power in the world that'll move the hand of God more than a mama praying fervently with compassion for her children. Don't give up. I believe Jochebed's faith moved her to think what God thought and to do what God said. And I believe as her faith moved her to do those things, her faith also moved God to work in her favor and in Moses' favor. And it's interesting, I'm not going to go back and read it again, but the Bible says this, that even in Pharaoh, even though he was essentially, after he was weaned or at some point in his childhood, he was given to Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in Pharaoh's courts. But Hebrews made it abundantly clear that when Moses came of age, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He saw Jochebed, the faithful woman of God that she was, as his mother. And even though he was raised in Pharaoh's courts and he knew the ways of the Egyptians, Moses' allegiance was to his mama and to his mama's God. I don't think we'll ever know this side of heaven how many times and how many ways God has used faithful wives and mothers to bring to fruition all of His plans, all of His promises that He's made. Look at Moses' life. There's a bunch of women fighting for him. I didn't read you chapter 1, but there was two midwives, basically the delivery doctors of that day, who the Bible said feared God. That's what it said about them. And Pharaoh said, kill those babies. And they said, we can't because we fear God. Pharaoh said, why ain't you killing those babies? And they said, them Hebrew women strong. They give them birth before we get there. You see their names mentioned one time, Shiphrah and Puah. They probably were the ones that delivered Moses. Then you see Jochebed. I can't kill him. He's a gift from God. He's valuable. He has potential. I fear God more than I fear man. I can't kill him. Then you see his sister Miriam standing off in the bushes looking at her baby brother thinking, what's going to happen to him? And when she saw Pharaoh's daughter came, and she saw Pharaoh's daughter move with compassion, she said, you want me to go get somebody to nurse him for you? You understand all of these women? I mean, you look at the Hebrew text, you look at Moses gave credit. Moses wrote this. Moses wrote the book of Exodus. Moses said, these are the women. Saved my life. Made me the man that I am. Set me on the path that God had for me. And I believe that God used the love and compassion of all of those women, including Pharaoh's daughter, to accomplish his master plan. And I want to tell you, with all my heart, I believe faithful women today are still laying the foundations of faith in the hearts of their children. Now, dads are important, and we'll get to dads on Father's Day, but I want to tell you who first taught me about Jesus. Who sang, Jesus loves the little children. I'm glad my mama was singing to me and not my daddy. You know who taught me all them songs? I'm in the Lord's army. The devil is a sly old fox. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You know who planted that in my heart? My mama laid the foundations of faith. And I believe that women are still doing that today. And God, I'm telling you, God will honor that. Your faith pleases Him. And when your faith pleases God, He rewards you. Let God's love flow through you, because I really believe that you are the first glimpse of God your child will ever see. I'm going to read you this poem, and I'm done. It's not actually a poem. It's, I guess, an essay or whatever written by a man named John Killinger, Lost in Wonder, Love, and Praise. And I'm just reading a small excerpt from it. It said, I believe in the love of mothers, and it's important in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on a hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect from Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love, that greater love of God, flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. And I want to encourage you and inspire you and challenge your moms this morning. Let the love of God flow through you, your children. Trust in God. Do all that you can, and then put them in His hands and trust Him to see your faith and to reward your faith. As our song musicians come this morning, let's stand together. Lord, thank You. Your Word teaches us, even in the commandments that Moses gave us, honor thy father and thy mother. Lord, I've tried this morning to just uplift and exalt that biblical role of motherhood. Show how important faith in You is and all of that. And Lord, I know, because I know what the hearts of moms look like and how they behave. There's some moms in here this morning that are heavy-hearted for children. Children that are outside the fold. And I pray You just help them be faithful, strong and true. Keep loving like You've taught them to love. And then trust You and Your sovereignty to move. Bring their children to places of salvation. Encourage them today, Lord. I've watched as one by one my grandmother's children and grandchildren have come to faith. And so I know what you're capable of, and I pray you would encourage them this morning. Lord, as we've honored mothers this morning, we realize that ultimately, Lord, they're a gift from you. And so in honoring them, we honor you and we glorify you this morning. And what we see in a mother's heart is a glimpse of what's in your heart. And I pray this morning for one here that's never felt, that's never received and reciprocated the love of God in their life, that today would be their day of salvation. Just do what you want to do during this time of invitation, Lord. I know there's maybe some heavy hearts today. There's some here that are for the first time without their mom. There's some here, Lord, that desperately want to be a mom. There's some here, Lord, that have a lost their moms, and I just pray you'd encourage, uplift, inspire, comfort, and bring peace in Jesus' name. Amen.